everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. Everybody, the number is always to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, along with two-time Super Bowl champion David Deal. We come off a bye week,
yeah,
Dave, and listening to Coach McAdoo yesterday, he made it very simple. Everybody was saying, you know, how do you move forward? How do you go ahead coming off, you know, 1-6? And he said, it's got to be a mindset. You have to flush it out, flush it away, and just move forward and, you know, take them one game at a time. We have 9 games left. We got to try to win 9 games. My question to you as a player, I think that is the approach you have to take. But is it easier said than done? Because 1-6 is a bitter, bitter taste. It's a bitter pill to swallow, especially when everybody had high expectations. And more so than anybody, you yourself as a Giant had high expectations.
No question. I mean, obviously, it's tough, and it's tough to deal with when you have the expectations that you had. And you are currently at 1-6, but, you know, as an athlete, as a person, you know, the one thing they always say is life can only be understood looking backwards, but you have to live moving forward. And it's the same thing when you look at a schedule, when you look at a game, when you look at a team. You know, when you have that chance to have a bye, you self-evaluate yourself because you're so worried about what's going on with defenses, learning offenses, that sometimes your individual technique you can't get away from. And you can't have the amount of reps like you do during training camp. So that's a time for you to see yourself on film and evaluate that. And then as an offense or a defense or a special teams, evaluating the entire group, self-scouting, what did we do well? What didn't we do well? And what can we do to put ourselves in the best position moving forward to win football games and be successful? And I think that's something that you do as a team in order to wipe away any of those feelings or to wipe away any of the perception. Doesn't matter what you say, it's going to take actions. And for that, you know, having this first one at home, a Rams team flying from the West Coast to the East Coast, you know, that's a team that's coming off of a bye themselves. Are they going to be a little sluggish? Are they going to come out as fast as they normally do? Or are you as a team, the Giants team, going to dictate the tempo, come out swinging like you did in that Denver game, throw the first punch, and take away that momentum from them as a football team and play like you would as a Giant with Giants pride and being proud of who you are as a team representing this organization and selling out each and every Sunday?
Now here's the question that I have also for you. You have a Giants team, like, and just as you said, with pride and, you know, tradition, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But this is a Giants team that has been decimated by injuries. And again, Dave, you were a player.
Yeah.
You can't use it as an excuse because that's not going to help you. But realistically, you don't have the most explosive player in the league playing. You don't have Brandon Marshall playing. You don't have Dwayne Harris playing. You've got OV, you know, on a bum ankle. There are injuries. So with all this being a factor, does that make it harder to go look in the mirror and say, okay, men, let's go and next man up?
Well, of course it makes it difficult when you look outside and you see the injuries you have of star players at major positions. Of course it does. But what are the great players, great leaders, and great coaches? They're able to figure out ways to put players in position to have confidence in what they're doing, not ask them too much to do when you know certain players can only do certain things. But more than anything, play with your names on the back of your jersey. When this adversity hits like it has this year, you're playing for the Giants. And you're playing for the pride of your name and for the rest of your career if you want to be a football player in the National Football League. Because this is when the character of an individual is really shown, is when adversity hits. And you think about for players, and yes, it may be difficult, it may be tough. But in 2013, I was on a team that started 0-6 and ended up winning 6 of our last games. And the reason why is because we believed in one another. We fought and practiced hard. And we went out to the game field and represented the Giants the way that they should be represented.
Well, like you mentioned the key word. I mean, if anything is going to get measured this second half, I'm talking for the entire organization. Yeah. It is going to be character.
No question.
That is what's going to be assessed up and down the line throughout the organization.
And for me, you know, I was blessed to play 11 seasons here and still be a lifetime member of the New York Giants. And for me, even when they were the up seasons or the down seasons, those losses, walking into the locker room with Wellington Mara standing inside of that door, I mean, when we would lose tough games, it would be hard to look at him because you felt like you disappointed Wellington. You disappointed him, and you disappointed what this organization is about.
Well, I'm glad you touched on that because that was a discussion Paulie Dodds and myself were having last week here. You know, fans, we know fans live and die with their respective teams. But I said this, and I mean it. At least I know about this Giants team. Nobody suffers the losses worse than the players do. If the players have their pride, nobody suffers those losses, especially, as you said, with an organization like that.
Yeah.
To look not only look in the mirror, but look in the man's eyes and say, oh, man, you know. And when you're dealing with a 1-6, it makes it that much more difficult. Having said that, what do you say we open up the phone lines, folks? Again, the number to call is 201-939-4513. We welcome you on Twitter. It is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Connecticut and speak with Dean. Dino, you're on with Russ and Dave. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great. How can we help you, Dean?
Yeah, well, I wanted to touch on a couple of things, but first, with the Eagles getting Jay Ajayi for just a fourth-round pick, I mean, that's just ridiculous. That just makes that team more explosive. Just wanted to let that out. But yesterday they were ending the show on talking about how the defensive line isn't being as effective as it was last year. And doesn't that have to have something with the time of possession? Because if your offense can't accumulate a first down, then your defense is on the field the whole game. They get gassed, they get tired, and they're not going to be as effective. So it's kind of like, in order for one to do good, the other group has to do well as well. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's why when you talk about teams, all three phases playing in harmony with one another, when you can't extend the chains offensively, number one, you're putting your defense in a bind because you're putting them out on the field more. But two, you're hurting yourself because the longer sustaining drives that you have where you can run the football, that's where you start to physically take over the game in the third and fourth quarter because you're doing that to the opposing defense.
But, you know, Dean, we're talking about what Dave just said, complementary football, offense, defense, and special teams. In fairness, but there were some key moments at the end of games when the defense needed a stop and couldn't come up with a stop.
Without a doubt. And that's one thing when you looked at this bye week and you self-evaluated and self-scouted, both offense and defense have got to do a better job on third down. Offense staying on the field, defense getting off.
Anything else, Dean?
Yeah, and all this people on Twitter talking about let's trade and get Jarvis Landry. I just want to put it out there. Listen, we can't afford to pay Beckham and Landry, and then we got to worry about signing offensive linemen, and then Collins going to want a deal, Harrison's going to want a deal. I just don't see the Giants making any moves to do anything. If we were worried about anything, it's a left tackle first and foremost. And I'll take it off the air.
Thanks for bringing up that point because people this morning, well, you know, you saw Odell Beckham Jr. tweet that. I go, that's his best friend and his college teammate. Of course he wants him to be a Giant. Like, I mean, come on.
You know, the funniest thing I read was this past Sunday. All the places where Eli could be traded to. Green Bay. That's just what we're going to do.
And right now, if you're a Giants fan, if you should be worried about a wide receiver, it's worry and hope that Sterling Shepard is fully healthy and back on the field on Sunday.
Believe me, that to me is key.
Without a doubt.
Not just for this week.
For the stretch.
You want to see him healthy.
No question. You need him back out on the football field to take away the bracket coverages or the double teams to Evan Ingram and create one-on-ones. Because if you think about other defenses, not all of them have nickel corners that can come in and play inside that slot position. So if you have one nickel corner, one's going to have to play Sterling Shepard. The other one's going to have to play Evan Ingram or vice versa. Like, pick your poison for matchup wins.
No, without question. I mean, and that's – listen, Ingram has done a wonderful job,
yes,
you know, the last few weeks. But having Sterling Shepard back, that's going to allow him to be that much better. Let's go down to Delaware and speak with Dan. Dan, how you doing today, my friend?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. So Dean kind of touched on a little bit of what I was going to talk about with a lot of these trades. You know, I really don't think we're in a position – like, it doesn't make sense to make any trades for players at this point because – I'm just where we're at. I mean, nobody's going to be able to come in and then all of a sudden we're going to rattle off, you know, 9 straight wins here. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense to give up any kind of compensation or anything like that, especially when you're talking about guys like Landry that need to be extended. The only guy that I would have said this over the summer, a lot of us were screaming for it, was when Dwayne Brown was holding out, we thought, why don't we pick up the phone and give this guy a call? Or give the Texans a call, things like that. That guy, you know, who knows what would have happened if we could have locked him, a guy like that up. But my point about the trades is, given where we're at this season, I would think we should be taking calls from teams. You know, we got guys like the DRCs and the Casillases and the Vereens, maybe even a guy like a Richburg, something like that. And we should be looking to get some compensation and get some draft capital. I know you ask the players, they're going to all be like, I want to be here. But what are they going to say? They're not going to say, no, I want off the team. So my point is maybe we should be looking at making some moves and things, but we're never a team that seems like we really ever do that.
Well, football is not – well, I was just talking about it with Chris here, who's running our phones. I was just talking about it. You know, the NFL is not like – baseball or the NBA.
But look at these other teams. They're all doing it. I mean, every year you see these trade teams making moves. You see teams trading up in the draft. You see teams – look at just the last 12, 20 hours of these guys being traded. I mean, we're never really among those teams. The last time I can remember making an acquisition was when we were 0-6. We traded for Beeson. You know, it's like – I don't even remember how many years ago that was. 5 years ago.
I mean, you're throwing out names. I mean, to me – who's to say that people aren't calling the Giants to say what's up, that they're not receiving calls? But, I mean, to me, you don't make a trade for the sake of making a trade.
No, I mean
– it's to acquire draft capital. I'm not saying trade for players. I'm saying trade players to others.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And it's funny that you say that, and I'm kind of glad you did, because that always is – it's funny to me when people go like, well, how do you know – the phones aren't ringing, and how do you know we're not talking to teams?
Well, that's
how
true.
How do you know we're not doing – that is all true, but then there's only two options, right, when you're saying something like that. Because here's my response to when people say that kind of stuff is that either A, we are not talking to anybody and we're not doing anything, or B, we are and we're not accomplishing what we want to – you know, we're not doing. So either way, it's not happening regardless. Like, we don't trade in the draft. We don't trade in free agency.
I believe we traded up to get Landon Collins, Dan.
I know, but you can cherry pick. You can cherry pick
examples.
But when you got 11 drafts under your belt and you're picking 7 picks a year, you got 77 something players, and you could point to 2 or 3 trades. I mean, that's not an indicator. Like, if you were to ask anyone around the league, like, are the New York Giants considered a team that's like mobile in the draft, or if they move up and down and they would all say no. I mean, you're cherry picking a couple guys or a couple acquisitions. I mean,
that acquisition of Landon Collins is a pretty boy. Talk about a cherry pick. That's a bunch of cherries.
Well, let me ask you this though, Russ. I mean, and this is getting a little off the subject of what I was talking about, but like, I go back to the Eli Apple draft, and all the way up to the draft, you know, you weren't hosting at the time. Dave was definitely doing some here and there stuff. Mm-hmm. But every day guys were calling in, and the names that were coming up frequently.
Leonard Floyd and Jack Conklin. Yeah.
And who were the two guys that got taken right before them, before us? And how did those players get taken? There were two teams that traded ahead of us to get those players. So my point is it's like, if every other person knows who we're taking or who we want, why don't we go up and get the guys we want? Why are we getting jumped? Why do we let ourselves – like, this is the point I'm making, is that I'm not in the meetings. I'm not in the room. But when you see actions over the course of 10 or 11 years, you can make a very good inference as to habits and as to how people act. And you can sit there and you can make a very strong case that Jerry Reese does not make moves. Here and there, yes, maybe he'll make a move. You know, here and there, he'll make a move. Like, and I'll give him all the credit in the world for the Landon Collins pick. But he also traded up for a guy this year that didn't even make the 53. You know what I mean? You could go. I could point to, like, probably on one hand the amount of trades that the guy's made in the draft over the 11 years he's had. So you can't sit there and say he's a wheeler and dealer.
And Dan, you're just like us. We're not sitting in the upstairs scouting department. We're not in there on the pulling the trigger on whether trades go or not. So, once again, you're saying the same exact thing anybody can say. If a trade doesn't go through, it's for two reasons. Either that there was no trade and there were no talks, or it didn't work out well. Yeah, that goes around the league.
John,
I know, but when everybody else – it seems like everybody makes these moves – but us, and I know I'm a Giants fan, so I'm, like, looking at the, like, I don't know if it's the macro or the micro level, and I'm focusing, zooming in on us specifically. I'm just saying there seems to be, like, a lot of activity every year, and we're never getting in on it. And if we were a successful franchise and we were, like, winning over these last 5-6 years or so, I would say fine. Whatever strategy we're using, it's working. We're staying pat. We're drafting players. We're re-upping our own guys. But we're not.
You know what?
That's the point. And so it's not working. So why not change the philosophy up a little bit here? Why not,
Dan,
do something different? That's all.
Dan, thank you for the call. But, you know, I think Dave just touched on it. Whether you like what's been done or what's not being done, these guys are working all the time. And you know what? Dave touched on it.
There's factors that we have no
idea
about.
Yeah, you have no idea. And when we talk about movement, you know what this is about? This is about 1-6.
Yeah.
It wasn't about 11-5. It's about 1-6.
And
that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, this is what happens when you're in this spot.
That's exactly what happens. It's about why didn't we make this move? Why didn't we make, you know –
And to go back to the draft, if you want to go back to this year's draft, everybody was convinced that we were taking David Njoku. Everybody was, oh, this is a proven guy. He's from New Jersey, Miami guy. They had him in on a bunch of visits. They set that up. There was no chance that they were going to take him. They felt Evan Engram was the better tight end, which he is.
I believe me, I understand. I understand fans' frustration. Yeah. Believe me, we're frustrated. The players, everybody's frustrated, but – when we're talking about, you just mentioned the names. I mean, I can't say what I can assure you this. I can assure you this as sure as we're sitting here that Jerry wasn't sitting back this past week not doing a thing.
Oh, you know,
that I can guarantee you that.
In and out and everything like that, and that's to be said. But until it's official, it's all rumors and hearsay, and we don't know out of that what is legit, what isn't. Oh, well, this source says, your source?
Yeah.
You really don't
Everybody
know.
Everybody has – you know what? It's like
– Everybody's got a guy.
It's like this past week, ever since Joe Girardi was let go, you know, not re-signed by the Yanks, I have been inundated with texts, with this on Twitter. Oh, my source tells me.
Of them are the same.
Who's your source? Yeah. Joe Blow? I mean, really? You know, it's the same. It's the same thing all the time. I mean, just because somebody's saying in the papers this team's talking to that team and that team's talking to this team or whatever doesn't mean it's happening.
Let's get Tony. Let's do Tony.
We want to do Tony and Hoboken.
Yeah, let's do Tony and Hoboken.
What's happening, Tony?
Hey, what's up? Hey, David Deal, man. It's an honor speaking with you right now. I think you probably. I don't know if you remember one of my friends, Nicky Russell from Hoboken.
How's
his dad? His dad was the mayor.
I know, absolutely. Make sure you tell everybody I sent my best.
Yeah. All right, definitely. Now, Russ, I just want to say something. Yeah, I'm thinking your definition of suffering is different than mine.
Go ahead. What's your definition, Tony?
Because after the game, right? The game, I was mad. I was not smiling. I was not having conversations with other people and smiling. But I'm just breathing a little heavy right now.
Don't breathe heavy.
Tony's fired up.
Don't breathe heavy, yeah. Tony. Relax. Take a breath.
No. When Pitino was interviewing somebody on the field, you see Eli Apple in the background laughing and joking around with the other team. Is that suffering after a loss?
You know what, Tony? Listen to me. That is a problem that happens all the time. And you know what? A player loses a game.
Well,
Tony, give me. I'll let you talk.
Yeah.
player loses, his team loses. It could be David. Yeah. It could be anybody else. Since I have been in covering this for 30 years, I've seen players after the game go up to the guys who were former college teammates, give them a hello, a high five, smile at them, this and that. That does not mean, Tony, that does not mean they do not care and they didn't suffer through the loss. And that is one of the problems, quite frankly, with television. I have seen this time and time again. Yeah. You get a guy smiling, what the hell is he laughing about? He's having a good time. His team's losing. I've seen it in all sports. And it's not fair.
And to go along with that, I mean, obviously, after games, after losses, I was miserable.
Tony, excuse me. Are you okay there? Because your phone's you're making a lot of noise.
But I mean, after losses, after those games, I mean, I was absolutely miserable. I didn't want to talk to any of my family that was there. I'd go down in the basement. I'd close the door. I'd watch that game right away, and then I'd watch Sunday Night Football. But in those situations where whether you are talking to a friend or somebody who you worked out with or somebody you went to college with, even when you're in that attitude, if somebody says something funny or something, you're going to laugh. You're going to smile, and it has no dictation of what you feel and your pride about losing a game. But sometimes what that's caught on TV or on film, people, they're not taking it serious. You saw one little clip, one little snippet of what could have been a 15-minute conversation.
Yeah, Tony, that's not a good assessment.
I get the perception of what it looks like, and they're having fun. They're laughing after a game, after having that disappointing loss. And it looks that way perceiving it, absolutely. But it's only a small snippet. You don't know what it was like when they walked up to that conversation or when that conversation started. So I completely get where you're coming from, but
You actually shut me up, so.
We don't want to shut you up, but just make sure you're breathing okay, Tony. All right, pal?
Think about when you're in an awful mood and something's going at work, Tony, and you're in a bad mood, things are going terrible. One of your buddies is sitting there busting on you, and he makes you laugh. Like, that's just something that naturally happens sometimes.
All right, Tony?
Yeah. And just one more thing real quick. Everybody's been talking about it, but it all stems from the offensive line. You fix the offensive line, everything works. Everything starts to click. I got to go, though, and it was a pleasure, Dave.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great one, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Tony. Again, you know, God bless Tony. He ends with the offensive line.
You know what? I'm excited and happy that he said that. Why? Because what's coming back? Running the football. Everybody wants fantasy numbers. And how many yards did this guy catch for? If you notice, the teams that are winning football games are the ones that are running the football effectively. It's no coincidence. So it's awesome to see that running the football is back.
Speaking of running the football, the Rams will be attempting to run the football with Mr. Gurley this week.
I mean, they're averaging over 115 yards rushing a game. Over 30 points, I mean, 330 yards plus.
They're an improved team.
I mean, that's the biggest thing for them offensively. 33 plays of 20-plus yards, which is the most in the NFL. Those big explosive plays that they have on that side of the ball. And, you know, what they do in the zone running scheme, they kind of wait to see if a linebacker's going to guess or a backside tackles that doesn't have the right fit on the defensive line. But the other thing they want to do is they want to try to manipulate coverages. They'll stem, they'll shift. They'll see if somebody motions over, to see if it's man or zone. They just want to do anything that they can to make it an easy half-field throw for Jared Goff.
All right, let's go down to South Carolina and speak with, is it Penn? Penn, how you doing today?
Good, how are you guys?
Good, what's going on, Penn?
Not much, being from Buford, I want to say thank the Giants for bringing back Devin Taylor. He's a hometown boy, good player, and I think he deserves to be on our roster somewhere. On top of that, I want to ask a question. You feel like around the organization that if we don't get it together in the next 20 months, that we're going to lose all the star power we have around us and basically just have to start from the very beginning.
When you say the next 18 months?
Yeah, just over the next year and a half, you know. I mean, if we can't get the problems fixed on the offensive line, if we can't, you know, make the connections we need to make on the deep ball, things like that, will this team just crumble away? I mean, we've got star power defense, that's without a doubt. We have stars on offense, that's without a doubt. But if we can't put it all together, are we ever going to be able to put it all together?
Well, Dave, let me add, you're not, Penn, you're not just saying this year. You're just saying this year and next year.
Yeah,
let me tell
you what.
The
future, yeah.
If nothing gets fixed by the end of next year, whoa, boy.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the things that you talk about. Obviously, you know, after this season, there's going to be some question marks. You have two offensive linemen, either Weston Richburg or Justin Pugh. You have to figure out what's going to happen with Odell Beckham Jr. because he's on the last year of it. So there's a lot of questions after this year. Landon Collins, what are you going to do?
I asked that question, too, because in my opinion, I think that the decisions in the front office that have been made over the last 4 or 5 years have basically ruined the last half of Eli's career. And I think, David, you can attest, his 2015 Eli Manning is not the 2017 Eli. The 2012 Eli Manning is not the 2017 Eli Manning. I mean, you see him roll out on those bootlegs and make connections in playoff games and hustle for the – not to say he's not hustling, but when you don't put offensive linemen around him, he's self-sacking himself every game rather than trying to get away from the defense and hit that pass.
Well, everybody wanted playoff Eli back, and if you go back and watch that Green Bay game, playoff Eli was there. There were a lot of drops.
You know what? That's an excellent. Think about that. And who made the drops in that playoff game? It was the best. Well, Penn, I don't know where you are. It sounds like you're going through.
I'm going through a tunnel. I'm about to lose you.
Sorry about that.
Okay, buddy. Think about that. Think about what Dave just said.
And that's what you talked about, though. When you talk about this season and when you talk about comparing it to other seasons, yeah, it's going to be very difficult to compare those when it's 1-6 right now, and that there's been the problems on the offensive line, and it's been up and down with whether different wide receiver combinations, different combination of offensive line, running backs being hurt. It's been up and down. It's been across the board. When one has been healed, the other one's been hurt. So, I mean, it's easy to say that and do that, but once again, I mean, we're talking about the only quarterback that I will sit here and I will put my life, I will go to court, I will put my hand on the Bible that if the game was ever on the line in the fourth quarter, there is not a single quarterback I would rather have behind me than him.
You know, Pat.
I agree. I mean, I'm an Eli fan 100%, but I don't think that we've made or the front office has made the decisions correctly to put Eli in that place to be the playoff Eli.
Well,
that can be.
But you just alluded to something, and thanks for the call, Penn.
Yeah,
you alluded to something a couple of years ago. You brought this up a couple of times where Eli's numbers were terrific.
Yeah.
This is what
at the end of the day, what cures all? Vitamin W, winning.
1-6 does this.
Yeah.
1-6 will dissect and view everything. You will open it up inside out, upside down. I mean, and that's what happens.
And it's completely, like we've said, it's completely understandable.
Yeah, no.
With the love, the passion, the loyalty that the fans have. But also, like we said, when these expectations were so high coming into this season, it's the only thing that you can do is look at every single detail of what took place to come here. It is what it is. This is the fact of where this football team is right now. It's about what they do with the rest of the season moving forward, starting with the Rams game. Are they going to learn from the last 7 games, regroup, and actually go out and play the way that we know this team is capable of with the talent that they have on the field? Or is it going to be a complete, utter disruption and a disappointment? And that's what we all need to see, and it's all going to start this Sunday. Madison speech, superior in action. Let your actions do the talking for you.
Again, we alluded to it earlier. I don't think there's going to be a question of the effort and the attitude that the guys are going
to
bring on the field.
No,
my
but
question,
you have to get the win.
My question on that is there enough talent there to get the win? Because that is a legitimate concern, at least from the receiving core. And your point, very well taken. We need Sterling Shepard in there healthy. That's going to make, to me, a huge difference. It'll also make a huge difference for guys like Orleans Darkwa to be able to run the ball. Let's stay in New York right now. Go to Jack. Jack, how are we doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
What's up, Jack?
Well, I have to kind of say that I'm a little kind of surprised with all the preseason hype or whatever. It looks like the reporters now and all the guys that, you know, the talking heads have all said, we said this team was flawed. right from the beginning. And they're really, I don't think many people really said that. You know, maybe the offensive line.
Jack,
but, you know, now none of them will go back and tell you that that's what they said. They said, now it's a flawed team. And basically, I think they've got some pretty good players, and they just, you know, haven't connected and whatever. But I just have to laugh, these guys. They, you know, they just switch their allegiance right off the bat.
Jack, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm glad you brought it up today, and I didn't have to bring it up, because last week we pulled out, you know, everybody's saying that, like you're talking about the hype. Well, who created the hype? The Giants didn't create the hype. The Giants that come out,
right,
and say we're the best team. All I know is I looked in the Daily News, the preview section, which I saved. You know what they had? They had the Giants winning the Super Bowl over Tom Brady 27-24. They had them going 10-6, winning the division. I looked in the Post. They had them going 10-6. Giants didn't say that. You're 100% right. And listen, we're just having fun with this. But you, listen, if you're going to be a first guest and say prior to the season, if David's going to say, listen, I think this so-and-so team stinks. I think they're an overrated team. They're no good. And then that said team comes out and goes 1-6. Well, then, you know, David could say, I told you so. But if David is saying, like everybody else, or Russ is saying, we think this team is great, blah, 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 they're a playoff team, and then they come out, oh, they're overrated. Well, who overrated them? We overrated them. You can't have
Absolutely.
It both ways. I agree with you, Jack.
Absolutely. Well, that's just what I wanted to say, is that, you know, these guys are all backtracking now.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Thank you, Jack. You take it easy. No, but that again, I've seen that, and that's in all sports. If you're going to be the first guess, that's fine. But it's too easy to do the second guess. But then to say, I remember, I'm going back when Evander Holyfield beat Tyson. Seriously,
yeah,
I remember
okay.
when it beat him in the first one, but this was not the biting the ear off thing.
Yeah.
And on TV and on the radio, I had said I thought Holyfield would win. It was like nuts. People and fellow media people, like I was a lunatic. They shouldn't sanction the fight. Evander's going to get hurt. Evander's this and Evander's that. You know what happened? Evander won the fight, and you know what they did? They said Eli. I got Eli on the brain. They said Mike Tyson, he never fought anybody. He's a fraud. I mean, folks, you can't have it both ways.
He tells you the only fraud is that money that I paid for that Buster Douglas Genesis game in boxing. That's the only fraud I think I've paid when it comes to boxing.
Oh, boy. Let's go to Brooklyn, speak with our girlfriend, Lisa. Lisa, how are we doing today?
Hi, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
Great, Lisa. How are you in Brooklyn?
We're getting ready to stomp for the second part of the season.
I love it.
We don't give up.
Better to do be the stomper than the stompy. That's
no
for sure.
That's right. But I had this season. I watched a lot of last year's games. I was talking with a lot of friends, and what we need to do in the second half is get the first down and stop them on third down. A lot of games last year, we won. There was one game, 21-20. A lot of games we won on an interception in the end zone. I mean, it wasn't like last year we were this phenomenal team, but we made the plays. When we had to make the plays on defense, we made them. When we had to get that first down on offense, our receivers would go that extra mile and get that first down. They didn't stop and get 9 yards. They got 10 yards. So it's just like that little piece was missing all year.
You know what, Lisa? You should be a coach.
I like it.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because you know what? You made it extremely simple and extremely understandable for everybody to hear. And it's basic football.
Yeah.
It's like punt, pass, and kick, and make tackles. Get the first down, stop them on third down. And you know
exactly.
what?
Exactly.
As simple as it's been very difficult for the Giants to do with any consistency this season.
It's like people are going crazy. But if you look at last season, it was those little things that we're not doing. Making that stop, getting that interception. Our turnovers they're not like there. Our interceptions. Last year there was an interception, I think it was the Eagle game. DRC made an interception in the end zone. Wentz was driving to beat us. but we made that play. We came up with that play. That same drive is not there this year. We're not stopping them on third down. We're not making that first down. And that's the difference this year. I really think it's the difference. It's just that hard-nosed, real football.
Well, yeah. You know what, Lisa? Nobody can argue with that. It's almost as if you're saying, get back to the basics of the game.
Yeah,
make it simple. Just make a stop and make a play. Make a stop and make a play. But that has been the problem, especially, listen, they lost three games. You know, when they were 0-5, they very well could have been, should have been, if not at least 2-3, maybe even 3-2. Okay.
It was so close.
Yeah, but close. You know what? Close. Close only counts in
horseshoes
and hand grenades.
Yeah.
And last year we would have won those games. That's the difference.
And you think about this last game, looking back at the Seattle game, all offensively, Seattle's big plays were all on third down in that second half.
Yeah.
That's been a big problem, and that's been one of the problems, I think. And Lisa, as always, my dear, thank you for the call. Go
thank
stomp
you guys.
Him. All right.
Stomp
we don't give
Lisa.
Up. We're going to stomp this weekend.
That's right.
Okay. Really, that was so many. It wasn't just a case of this time, this season, of stopping. It was not like third and one or third and two. There were third and 12s. They make 13 yards. Third and nine, they make 10 yards. I mean, those are the killer plays. And that's been a problem all season long. And that's what Coach McAdoo said yesterday. You got to flush it away. The 1-6 is – that's not changing. You just got to do what you have to do for the remaining nine games. Let's go out to down to Maryland and speak with Ty. Ty, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, I just wanted to make a quick question for you guys. I know you guys are pressed for time. So
no, you're okay.
No, you're talking. We got time.
Okay. Okay. So what I wanted to know about is what can we expect from Shane Vereen? Not necessarily in a running game, more so in a passing game, seeing as how he's a valuable pass catcher coming out of the backfield. Can we expect him to maybe line up at receiver out wide, as well as Jarrell Adams? I haven't seen a whole lot from Jarrell Adams in utilizing his skill set. I know he's more of a blocker than a receiver, but, you know, taking into consideration of how our receivers that we do have right now have played up to this point, I wanted to know what can we expect from those two guys, and just looking forward to Sterling Shepard getting back into the mix coming up against the Rams.
I thought he was broken up. Great point, man. That's something that you want to do with Shane Vereen that I thought would be something that you could look at coming off of this bye. Put him in this slot. Put him into different spots. Motion him from going from 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, and then stemming to empty and seeing if you can get him out in space one-on-one. But the one player that I figured that moving forward here for this Giants offense outside of Sterling Shepard that they can do, I would have Evan Engram all over the football field. I would have him outside. I'd have him inside. I've had him in line. I'd have him in the backfield. I would try to create and manipulate the coverages so much that they have to show their hand before the play.
Well, you bring up something, Dave, that Ben didn't say that's going to happen, but he alluded to, you know, people will ask
utilizing him, players in different spots and different positions.
Different schemes.
Without
you know,
a doubt.
You know, subtle changes. There's not going to be some like, oh, my God, you know. But I –
And I'm not, and believe me, right now I'm not comparing his production to Travis Kelce because Travis Kelce has been doing it for a long time. But it's the same athlete, same type of player. I mean, but what do? They move him around and stem him so that you have to change your coverages so that you don't have a linebacker on him, so that you don't have a full loaded 8-7-man box if you want to. So that's something that I would definitely do moving forward.
You know,
exactly. And see, now, if you were to move him out wide, then maybe you can put somebody like Jarrell Adams in the
no
tight
question.
End
put a bigger body
is,
tight end
you know?
And win possession 50-50 balls.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
I agree.
Okay, Ty.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you. You know, Ty brought out a good point. I think when Shane Vereen was acquired, I don't know of any Giants fan who is not enormously excited about that. I mean,
because of the production that he had in New England, yeah. His ability to catch and manipulate coverages by being able to catch out of the backfield, his big flaw has been his injuries.
Yeah, and then it
not
just,
being able to stay healthy and on the field.
Yeah, he really, I mean, I think everybody was excited.
He was so versatile.
Really? I mean, yep. I mean, that's a pro,
yeah.
a guy who can do a lot of things, and for whatever reason, well, not for whatever reason, I think Dave really touched on it. You're talking about a guy that injuries and, you know, some tough injuries,
yeah.
Really had slowed him down. And there were just some cases – and we spoke to him. I spoke to him. He's healthy this year. For whatever reason, it just seems, you know, when they throw that little out pass to him, again, maybe it's the line. He's just getting caught behind. It's not getting the gains that we thought would come.
Yeah, I agree. But also a lot of those gains that he had were off of play action.
Right.
Ability to fake it inside what we used to say K4, K5, where the running back and the fullback would fake the zone. Maybe the fullback kicks out and takes an end or something. The running back seals out and runs a little, you know, whether it's a little wheel route or an option route one-on-one against the linebacker. But in order to do that, you got to run the ball.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and that's been the problem.
Yep.
You know, if we see it this weekend, maybe we'll see more of that. Brandon in New Jersey. Brandon, how we doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on,
what's up, Brandon?
Good, man. I'm looking at the overall big picture. Now, I'm a diehard Giants fan. Hopefully we can go out the whole season, win the rest of these games, and go 10-6.
Oh, boy.
You know. Now, but I have a question. Now, if that was to happen, do you think we have a chance of getting in then?
Oh, I'll tell you
I
why.
Mean, in order, if we rolled off and went 10-6, we would definitely be making it in because there would be some definitely deficiencies down the stretch with some other teams.
And Brandon, let me tell you something
right,
else.
And
if they go to 10, if the Giants go to 10-6 from 1-6 where they are now, they will be the most dangerous team heading into the playoffs over again.
We could get to 3-6. Once we get to 3-6, that big Kansas City game is going to be tough at home. If we could win that game and be at 4-6 at Thanksgiving and play Washington at 4-6. I think you could start being in the conversation of the wild card if we could win that game in Washington and get to 5-6 and play. I think we got Oakland after that and become 6-6.
Yeah,
after
but Brandon,
this team has the ability to win games in a row. I think we seen it last year. It could pull it off if everybody could get their mind right and get together.
There's one difference, Brandon. There's one big difference here.
Odell not there.
Well, amen to that. And you know what? You can't think about 3-6, and I'm sure Dave's going to agree on this, before you get to 2-6.
They can't any of those things. Another, you have to win Sunday against the Rams.
Yeah, you got to win Sunday against the Rams. That is a trap. See, fans and we here, we can do what you're doing. We can the wishful thinking and hope that happens and all that. But the players, they can't think like that. The players got to think about it. And Ben said that yesterday. They got to think about it one game at a time.
Yeah.
If they start thinking about, well, if we get to here, then we got Kansas City coming up. Already, you're losing your focus.
Yep.
Right. Another question. Right now, I think this would make a lot of sense. Right. Now, if next year, right, my assumption, the way the Giants move, I believe that we're going to cut our ties with Brandon Marshall next year and be in the market for another receiver. Now, granted, they're saying Jarvis Landry is a chance that Odell want to play with him again, and I believe that would spark something real special on our team if we could get Landry. If the Giants is going to be in the market for another wide receiver next year, wouldn't it make sense to get him instead of someone out of the draft, being the fact that he probably would be the best player on a free agent market or for a trade for a second round and pick if we was going to pick a wide receiver in the draft next year? Might as well get somebody that's already established.
If you were
in my opinion, I believe that would make sense and fix the line in the offense, fix the offensive line. Either through free agency and the draft next year as well, it's not, we're not too far away. You know what I mean? Get a third corner, because I'm pretty sure that we're probably going to, I hate to say it, I don't want to say it on the air because I don't know if the players be listening or not, but I believe that we're going to cut bait with Dominique Rogers-Cromartie next season as well to save the money. I think it's all about saving money, you know what I mean? And I can understand that. I can dig that. And I believe we're going to cut ties with him as well and get some more money on the books so we can re-sign some of our players and add some players as well.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate the call.
And to go along with that, obviously, yeah, in a perfect world, you would love to go get Jarvis Landry, pair him up with Odell Beckham Jr., and have that as your number one and two, or however you want to do it, for your wide receiving core. But once again, after this season, Jarvis Landry's due another huge contract, which he's still on his rookie one, just like Odell Beckham Jr. is. So there's another piece that you have to put money in from the salary cap. And you're saying, well, if we bring in Jarvis Landry, he'll solve the O-line problems.
Well,
isn't that the last thing that happened this year with Evan Ingram, with Sterling Shepard, with Brandon Marshall, with Odell Beckham Jr., that we thought that we were going to have all these weapons on the outside, and it comes back to protection and the offensive line?
Listen, we love Odell. And I'll tell you, I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that he's still going to get his big contract.
It would be absolutely electric to have those two in
without question. But Odell, because you know Odell, with the pride that he has, he's going to work his butt off.
He already is.
Back. Yeah. However, business is business. Brandon threw it out there, is Odell going to give up some of his money so Landry could come here?
Yeah.
No.
When you want to be the highest paid player in the NFL,
Exactly. You know, so it's one of those situations. I have no doubt at all that he's going to get his big contract.
Of course.
He's not going to be the highest paid player in the NFL, but he's going to get
He's going to get what he deserves.
He's going to get a huge contract, and he's going to be – listen, it was a broken ankle. People come back from broken ankles. His knee wasn't ripped up. He's going to be okay, and he's got that pride that he wants to be the best. So he's going to work hard to get back.
And that regards, like you said, it doesn't have any of that stuff. So that's more psychological coming back from the injury than it is a double rehab process where you're trying to get through all that stuff. And for him, the competitor, the mentally tough player is, the confidence he has in himself, he's going to bounce back.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brandon is one. That is one optimistic, the glass is half full instead of half empty because, I mean, he's got 10-6. I mean, will we be
we all would hope for that to happen.
Think about that.
Yeah.
But if they got to 10-6, that means they're winning out the rest of the way. Nobody would want to face the Giants going into the playoffs.
Nope.
It'd be here we go all over again. That would be vintage. Am I right?
That was us in 2007. Teams would have rather have played us at home than in their home stadium because we won 11 straight on that road that year.
That was a road warrior.
Oh, it was awesome. No better feeling than walking out of a stadium and having 80,000 people completely silent.
I'll tell you, I remember that the first one. What did you say, 2007?
2007,
I remember being down in Dallas, winning in Dallas and winning in Green.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Those Redskins fans giving it to you, and then you win. They're like, right, we got nothing. We can't even say anything.
No, that win in Dallas was just
The playoffs?
Yeah.
Jerry Jones already gave the tickets to the team before the game for an NFC championship, all that. That was great bulletin board material. Great stuff.
How much of that bulletin board material, does that work as a motivation?
The fact that the owner already handed out tickets to the championship, damn right it was motivational.
Yeah.
For us, here we are, a team that played you tough during the regular season, and you think you're just going to run through us to the NFC championship game? No, not today.
How much is it a mentality? Because we know how – you've heard this several times, Dave, in all sports, but in particular, you know, obviously we're talking football now. As much as a home field is an advantage, for whatever reason, sometimes some teams just excel on the road. Why is that? And other than just having superior talent, is it a case where you're on the road and you just said it's us against the world mentality?
Yeah, it's you're on the road. It's us against the world mentality, and you go out there and feed off of the negative energy of people. There's no better feeling in the world as a competitor to tell people and show people what you can do when they don't think that you can. And when you go out there and you don't playing football, it's not about what you say. It's about actions in the stadium. And when another team and another home crowd faces and feels that, and at the end of the game, you're sitting there screaming victorious and you physically won that game, and it wasn't with words, it wasn't what the media said, it wasn't any of that stuff. It's all what took place in between those lines. It's the most gratifying feeling in the world.
All right, we got a couple of minutes here. Let's play a little numbers game, Dave. I'm just thinking about it. Team's 1-6 now.
Yep. 9 games left, 5 of 9 are at home.
Okay, 1-6, 5 of 9 are at home. What would you say? I mean, nine wins is all daffodils dancing in your head and cotton candy and all that stuff. Realistically, what would you say would be, considering the 1-6 start, what would you say it would be okay for the Giants to end up with a record at the end of this season?
Yeah, we used to come out, and when the schedule used to come out, used to break it into four game segments. Yeah, break it into those four, and used to always talk about win every game at home and split on the road. That's your best opportunity to win the division and ensure a spot into the playoffs. Sitting right now at 1-6 and 5-4, or 9 games left, 5 at home, 4 on the road. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less than 500. I wouldn't accept anything less than 500.
So, in other words, to go
5-4.
If they go 5-4, that means they end up a season at 6-10.
And considering that they can win more games than that, and I believe that they can, but that's the bare minimum.
Yeah,
5-4.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I think if they come out 5-4, I know a lot of fans are saying, well, geez, guys, if they do 5-4, they end up with 6-10. You can't do anything about 1-6. Those losses, you can't get those back.
Yeah.
You know, they are what they are. They are etched in stone. It was a 1-6 start. But
in a perfect world, 6-3, 7-2, but with the talent, with the injuries right now,
oh my God.
I would not accept anything less than 500.
I mean, I got to tell you, when you say 7-2, 7-2 would mean this team finishes at 500, mm-hmm. at 8-8. And you put an 8-8 up there, that would be like a wow.
Yeah.
Just as you said earlier in the show, when we're going to be talking about measuring character and you know, let's see what kind of inside you made up from the coaching staff, to the management, to the players on down, to the ball boys, 8-8's going to show you. You go 7-2 the rest of the way. That is a character builder.
No question.
Boy, it's kind of weird. You know, 1-6, that we're sitting here talking about 1-6.
More than anything, the most important game is Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams. That's it. Plain and simple.
Do you think the players, I ask you as a former player, that they're feeling pressure, or like, can you go out and perform? It's great that Ben says, okay, we got to flush it away, guys. We got to go out and do it. But is it
best way to handling pressure is applying it. Put it on the other team.
And that goes to what Lisa said. Make a first down, stop
play
a
your
third
game.
Down.
You know, basics and fundamental football.
But she really broke it down.
Yeah,
but
it was awesome.
That's what it amounts to. It's getting back to the basics, maybe don't overthink it. We know game plans got to go in and got to be complicated, but the basics they haven't done.
No.
When you look at it, you know, there were bad punts. Give me a complimentary football game, offense, defense, and special teams, and if you do that, we'll see what happens. But it is the Rams coming in this Sunday. We'll see if they can take care of business. That is a wrap on this edition of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. For the two-time Super Bowl champ, David Deal, I am Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being part of it. I will see you back here tomorrow. Have a good day.
Happy Halloween.